Budget and Policy Division of Wednesday, March 11th. We have a very full agenda. We're going to first deal with five bills in the budget division, and then we're going to take up seven bills in the policy committee. We will start with the Senator Foley here. Senator Foley here. Okay, Senator Saltzman. All right.
That's going quicker than we thought.
Senator Sharon.
I like that.
How about Senator Dibble?
Mine are a policy. Senator Murphy. Senator Bonoff. All right, we'll take the fifth bill on the agenda, the Little Crow Transitway bond issue.
It belongs to those who show up.
Let the record show that we do have a quorum.
Ooh, great.
Members, we're looking at Senate File 1178.
Yes.
No, where's
Mr. Chairman, this slide presentation is mine, and my assistant doesn't seem to be in the room because he wasn't thinking we were first to run the buttons, but...
Senator Bonoff's assistant is listening. Please come down and help her out with her tech. Or if anyone knows anything about technology, they could. Chris.
I think it's all set up. So I think we should be okay.
Why don't you visit with us for a few minutes about the ideas in the bill, and then we'll look at the presentation.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is a bill for, and I have to laugh a little bit, the Little Crow Transitway. And the reason I have to laugh is because I've been talking about, this is my fourth session, and I've been talking about, since I first come here, about the 394 corridor. And during that time, this corridor has been named, and it's been named in statute, and it's been named the Little Crow Transitway. And so I am now offering a bill that requires a feasibility study of transit service in Little Crow Transitway. I have Mary Vogel here with me, and she will take us through a presentation. But members, the reason why this area, by the way, goes from downtown Minneapolis and then all the way out to Wayzata and on to Willmar. And the reason why this area has never been studied as a corridor for commuter rail is because the Met Council considered this corridor as already taken care of when we did the Min Pass. But I think that's very short-sighted, that if, in fact, we're going to have a community comprehensive rail and multimodal transit plan, that you have to consider that one of the key spokes of this hub has to be the middle of the community from Minneapolis out straight due west. And so, yes, the Min Pass has been a lifesaver, but in fact, that this too ought to be considered, and that if we do want to have the entire metro area connected by rail, then we do also need to have this corridor. And I suspect that there's all this that there's all this ruffling of papers because there were actually two bills on the agenda tonight. There was the bill that was the bonding bill as well as the transit study. And so I think because we're in finance that you were actually wanting me to speak about the bonding bill at this point. But I'm only going to speak once. So members, just understand there are two bills that you have in your folders. One of them is asking for an appropriation of bonding dollars, $500,000, to begin the engineering analysis and the study for the Little Crow Transitway. There's a second bill that is a policy bill that asks MnDOT to include this rail line in their overall statewide plan. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Vogel for her presentation.
Thank you.
Welcome to to the committee, Ms. Vogel. Just state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
My name is Mary Vogel. I'm the co-director of the Center for Changing Landscapes at the University of Minnesota. I was
Ms. Vogel, please come close to the microphone so we can all get hear you.
Higher, maybe. Does it work? Better?
Better.
Okay. I'm Mary Vogel, a co-director of the Center for Changing Landscapes at the University of Minnesota. I was asked to make this presentation by Senator Bonhoff because I was the leader for the land use study for the Hiawatha Corridor. I also was the leader for a study that recommended that the Central Corridor be along University Avenue and not in the freeway trench. And I've recently completed a study, land use study on the 394 corridor. And that study addressed how to make the 394 corridor more transit friendly. This is the corridor that we're talking about, as Senator Bonhoff referenced. It starts in downtown Minneapolis and extends westward through the western suburbs, through Wayzata, and really impacts a lot of small communities along the way and terminates in Willmar. This route parallels the existing Highway 12. You can see it on the map. It's the red line. This route is the is a Burlington Northern Santa Fe route, and it historically has been a passenger route. It was a passenger route until 1977. There are a number of vestiges of this passenger heritage. Here's a historic building that is along this line. It is now used as a historical society in the city of Wayzata.
So, members, this picture, I do want to call your attention to this picture. This Wayzata Depot is operating today. It's at the lake. It's right at the rail. And the mayor of Wayzata is very supportive of this project, and they envision that it would revitalize this area and the depot would become a real focal point for the line.
Mm-hmm. This corridor is a logical choice for a transitway because of the history of passenger service. It really complements the whole system that has been determined by the Metropolitan Council. When you look at the North Star, the Red Rock, Duluth, et cetera, you don't have a line that goes directly westward. There has been substantial growth west of Minneapolis, and Willmar is an important regional center. We all know about the congestion challenges on I-394, so this would help address that issue. And furthermore, it's recommended for future passenger service by ASHTO. I've got a typo here. That's the American Association of State Highway Safety Transportation Officials and Amtrak. It's also a logical choice because it has favorable physical conditions. That is, the roadbed is in good condition. It will not have to be rebuilt. Currently, it has freight lines on it. However, it's not a heavily used freight line. There are only 9 trains that run on it daily. But there will have to be some additional changes. Because it is a single line, they will need additional passing sidings. There are some sidings that do exist on this line now, but there will be a need potentially for additional sidings. There needs to be an evaluation of the stations. I think Senator Bonhoff has already referenced that Wayzata is ready to go. We need to look at some of the other stations to see what kind of condition they're in. There will have to be some changes in signaling at some of the intersections because right now they are set up for 60 mile an hour freight trains, and commuter trains would run more quickly. And then the issue of where a maintenance facility would be located. So those are sort of the four major issues. This line makes sense also because there is an Amtrak operation opportunity associated with it. The rail line is a current freight line, and therefore Amtrak is authorized to run lines on freight lines. And so if the state were to choose to acquire rolling stock and contract with Amtrak, that would be one option for operating this facility. California and North Carolina and I believe Illinois have bought their rolling stock and contracted with Amtrak to run their service. So there are some precedents throughout the country. The last slide shows some has been taken from the Metro Council 2030 plan and identifies the congested areas that are projected. We know that I-394 is congested already. And the last slide shows the plan as in place now with the Metro Council, and you see that all of the lines are really north and south, and there aren't very many. They really stop at 394 with the status that no improvements are scheduled, no major improvements are scheduled on I-394 for the next 20 years or so. So with that, I would conclude my testimony.
And just summarize, thank you so much, Ms. Vogel, for doing that. To summarize, this line would begin at the Twin Stadium where they've already planned to have the station. And so imagine we have a high-speed line that goes from Chicago to St. Paul and then connects to Minneapolis at that spot, and now we can get from there all the way to Wilmer, and that would be an exciting day. And I think that Senator Day, what he would like about it is that it would be using commuter rail rather than starting
Mr.
over.
Mr. Chairman, please stop. Senator Day would like Senator a four-lane highway going to Wilmer. And he would like about six more lanes on 394. And trust me, Mr. Chairman, they're working on trains down in Highway 14 now in Owatonna, and I'm telling them I want a four-lane. I'm not interested in 100-year-old technology. So.
Very good. Let the record reflect, I, too, am for higher speeds than the old technology. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Brown.
Sure.
Questions? Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, how long have cars been around now? How long have automobiles been around? I think we're going on about 100 years.
More than 100.
Yeah.
140 years.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not trying
Senator
to get
Day.
Rid of trains. I just don't want more of them. Mm-hmm.
Well, I keep hearing they're 100 years old. Somehow that's bad.
But Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I do not have the bonding bill before me. I only have a copy of the other, so I don't even have the bill number.
1178. 1178 is the bonding
bill. Yes, 1178 is the bonding bill.
Thank you. So Senate File 1178 is a request for bonding dollars. I suspect that's not in the cards for this year, but I did want to put it forward. But then, in addition, we have Senate File 933, which requests that MnDOT include this rail line with a statewide transportation plan.
Okay. I think, any other questions from the committee? I think we're ready to take a vote on that, and then you'll be presenting 933.
Mr. Chairman, there's no need for that. This is the same line.
Okay.
So that's why I'm wondering if you'd be willing to allow both to be moved at this time. Or we can just vote on the next one then.
Yeah, we'll have to go to policy to do the voting on the 933.
Very good.
So
thank
we'll,
you, Mr. Chairman.
We'll vote on 1178 now.
Okay.
Senator Bonoff moves Senate File 1178.
To finance.
And it will be forwarded to finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members.
Okay, Senator Foley, Senate File 1279.
I haven't looked at it yet.
Hey. The last two are.
Senator Foley, just one moment, please. Just to announce here that Senate File 1043, which is the Minnesota Valley Regional Rail Authority loan forgiveness, has been pulled from the agenda. So we will not be hearing. Senator Foley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm here tonight on Senate File 1279. This is a bonding request, and is located in my area on Coon Rapids Boulevard and Hanson Boulevard.
Thanks.
And the current year they're constructing an extension on Highway 10 from the Egret over towards Hanson, and I have the county engineer here, so he'll be able to fill in the gaps. But What this bill would do would be to widen the stretch of pavement between Highway or Hanson Boulevard and Round Lake Boulevard in the city of Coon Rapids, and this would make it a three-lane in each direction. It's one of those things that has been done in pieces, and it's created terrible road obstructions morning and night, and we're anxious to solve that. I have Mr. Fisher, the county engineer from Anoka County, and he would like to be available at least for whatever questions you might need. Perhaps wants an introduction.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Fisher. Please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Doug Fisher. I'm the Anoka County Highway Engineer.
This one now.
Anoka County is in support of this bill. On the handout that I did pass out, you can see a little bit of the details. If you haven't driven this highway, you've probably heard it if you listen to Joe Suchere. This is his sidekick, Kenny Olson, affectionately calls this the redneck bottleneck. So if you've heard it, this is it. This is the project that we would like to see expanded. This is through the rest of Coon Rapids and into the city of Anoka on Highway 10. We are very pleased that the blue section that's highlighted is a piece that the DOT is out for bids right now to add a third lane or one lane in each direction through that section. Certainly you can see from the traffic volumes, 93,000 near Hanson Boulevard and into 72,000 vehicles per day on this highway. And then the title block, you can see how that compares to some recent projects that were done, the 494 in the West Metro has similar ADTs as this. That was an add-a-lane project, and obviously Highway 212 was a new construction. What you can see is the price tag on this project is substantially lower because throughout the last two decades, the city of Coon Rapids, Anoka County, in cooperation with MnDOT, have expanded all of the interchanges and bridges over Highway 10. So that work is already completed. Just last year, we completed the Hanson Boulevard interchange, which was a $23 million interchange. So we have systematically upgraded these interchanges, and this money would be for Highway 10, and we think it's a great value and a great deal, and we would support this bill.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Senator Dibble.
Thanks. I'm just curious about the interchanges and the work that you've already done. I know sometimes you do that at your own expense and you bear that locally, but sometimes you rightfully would expect reimbursement at some point in the future. Are you waiting reimbursement for some of those items? I know some counties have done that.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dibble.
Senator Foley.
Just recently replaced the bridge on Hanson and Highway 10, and the county and the city funded those because there wasn't enough money in the DOT.
Mr. Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, MnDOT did commit $6.5 million to the Hanson Boulevard interchange, which is now completed. However, they cannot pay until 2011-2012. So we had to finance that part of the MnDOT share to get that project. And again, it was about, when you add up the design, right-of-way acquisition, construction, was about a $23 million interchange.
Thanks. Any other questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dahl.
I'm trying to figure, thank you, Mr. Chair. On bonding, for these particular road projects, it's my understanding that's not what we wanted to do, is that we supersede the MnDOT, or MnDOT on these things. I thought they had their kind of list of projects. Or is that what we're trying to do here, is push this up the ladder a little bit by providing bonding money for this? I guess I need a little clarification on it.
Senator Dahl, I don't have the answer to that question. But I think what we're doing is we're putting together another list of bonding projects here,
okay,
that are potentially going to go into a potential bonding bill this year. Senator Jungbaum.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And to kind of answer Senator Dahl's question is, we've long worked on Highway 10 and Highway 65 corridors. We changed some of the language in terms of transportation, how MnDOT looks at some of these projects, because it doesn't seem right that as some of the safety issues pile up and as the bottlenecks occur, that the northern suburbs don't seem to get their fair share based on the simple transportation volumes. Highway 65, we've been able to nickel and dime that through Anoka County through safety funds. As literally the bodies stack up, the property damage stacks up, we were able to put a piece into legislation that MnDOT looks at insurance statistical data as well as their engineering reports, because some of the worst intersections in Minnesota were along Highway 65 in terms of insurance statistics, but not in terms of engineering and design statistics. So I guess, in the bigger scheme, we're not trying to earmark, but we're trying to bring a lot of attention to the fact that things aren't seem to be treated equally. I think that's really what we're on, and saying we have some major transportation issues, we have the same amount of cars, and we're not getting the same amount of attention to moving those cars through the area.
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Jungbaum or Senator Foley, I guess, is this going to be part of a bigger package of other projects that we're going to be doing the same thing, or are we just going to do them one by one as we each decide a project think is most important? We put forward a bill that we ask for a bonding request. I'm just, again, trying to get a grasp on how we're going to be approaching this, because we all have projects that are like that, I'm sure.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Dahl, I'll answer part of it and let Senator Foley answer the rest of it. But I guess what I'm hoping to get out as a co-author on the bill is that we can bring attention to these projects. We can put them hopefully on the front burner, and if we get more transportation dollars coming in, other economic stimulus packages, that some of these move up and that it causes MnDOT to look at things and say, well, wait a minute, we've forwarded some things that were in the queue on way lesser volumes of traffic that don't have the same issues every day. So sometimes, as we'll keep finding out over and over as you spend more time here, Senator Dahl, you have to keep putting things out in front of people sometimes before it gets noticed that it is the same issue, that we are not analyzing every project the same, and that's tragic as we look at things.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Dave.
Mr. Chair, Senator Foley, how many cars did you say a day?
101,000.
101,000 cars a day. Mr. Chairman, if you think about this, these projects, and I know we think about a lot of different things, but we're thinking about 101,000 cars a day at probably about a 1.3, 1.4 people in the car project. And we all sit here and we think if we build a light rail and have 29 or 30,000 on it in the Hiawathan, we spend $800 million. Now we're going to spend $900 million on a central corridor. These are the kind of projects we should be doing because we'd be moving a lot more people around this the metropolitan area and do a lot better bang for our buck than where we're headed. I like it that you brought your this bill forward. This is a good bill.
Thank you.
Well, with that, it sounds like Senator Day is ready to move the bill.
I'll do it.
Okay. Senator Day moves that Senate File 1279 be recommended to pass and for possible... I'm sorry. Senator Day moves that Senate File 1279 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you, Senator Foley and Thank Mr.
You.
Fisher.
Thank you.
Senator Saltzman, we've got Senate File 827.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. I have Senate File 827, which is a bill that is extremely similar to a bill that we passed last year and was in the bonding bill and was line item vetoed as a bonding appropriation. And it is for the 94 corridor. And as we've had a lot of discussion in this committee about trying to have some equitable, I guess, the distribution of funds and also to grow our transit system so it is a regional system. This bill really supports efforts that have happened in Washington County to work with Ramsey County. Since this bill has been heard, a joint powers agreement has been formed. This bill originally was for $1 million. This particular appropriation is for $250 because we are using some of our local CTIP money as well as local efforts from Washington and Ramsey County to move forward with this transit corridor, which also has high levels of traffic. It's one of the highest traveled routes. It has a lot of freight on it, and this is really important to our community to be part of this regional system. And I have with me a new county commissioner, Lisa Wyke, who has just been elected to the board, and she's become a strong supporter of transit. And Mike Rogers, who used to work for Washington County, and Ramsey snatched him away, but we're delighted to have him working on this project as well to answer questions.
Great. Well, Commissioner, congratulations. And
thank you.
Or maybe condolences. I'm not exactly sure. But welcome to the committee, and please, your testimony.
Well, thank you. My name is Lisa Wyke. I am a Washington County Commissioner representing the Woodbury area. Thank you for this opportunity to testify on the I-94 corridor. I do just want to apologize that we don't have a flashy name like the redneck bottleneck, but our numbers are approximately 110,000 vehicles per day currently, so we do have high volumes already. You may know that Washington County has been one of the fastest-growing counties in Minnesota for the last several years. In addition, St. Croix County has also been one of the fastest-growing counties in Wisconsin. Over the next 20 years, these two counties are expected to add approximately 170,000 more people who will become frequent users of the I-94 corridor. Currently, Interstate 94 plays a vital role in the movement of people and goods in the East Metro and provides a critical connection to the major population centers to our east, namely Chicago. Interstate 94 is considered the gateway to Minnesota and specifically the Twin Cities metro region. There is currently significant congestion along this corridor for many hours of the day. 10 years from now, the congestion is expected to stretch from St. Paul to the St. Croix River, a total of 17 miles. This could be compared to congestion along I-94 from Minneapolis west past Maple Grove. The long-range plans from MnDOT and the Met Council show no highway expansion or added lanes in this corridor. Currently, there is some express bus transit service provided in the corridor. However, the demand for this service is so great that the park and ride lots are overflowing on a daily basis. The business community, especially the Woodbury and St. Paul Chambers of Commerce, and our local leaders along the corridor have expressed their support for a more robust transit system to serve the needs of the residents and businesses. We are in the process of forming an I-94 corridor commission made up of county and local representatives to advocate for this corridor in a unified voice. One of the goals for this commission will be to grow livable wage jobs and bring expanded economic development to the East Metro area, which has become even more important with the current recession that is not expected to turn around in the short term. Finally, transit demand exists today. Planning for a more robust transit system needs to start now to address increasing congestion and allow this corridor to be an economically vibrant community as our gateway to Minnesota. Again, thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important issue for Washington County and the East Metro area.
Thanks, Commissioner. Any questions for the Commissioner? Mr. Rogers, did you want to make any comments?
Mr. Chair, Senators, I just want to reiterate the support that Ramsey County has for this corridor. We feel it's a good corridor, and unfortunately, my commissioner must have gotten hung up along the way. He was flying back from D.C. today from being out there at the NACO conference, so he would, I'm sure, have hoped to have been here but got hung up. I think the things to remember about this corridor, though, is that it is a major east-west link, and mobility along it is not only vital for the East Metro, but for the Twin Cities region in general. There's some major employers and job clusters along this corridor, being downtown St. Paul, 3M, areas in Woodbury and Oakdale around the 694-494 interchange, and then the undeveloped areas along the corridor out by Manning Avenue in northeast Woodbury that have a huge potential. So thinking about that, maintaining the mobility for this corridor to get at that economic development piece, and then knowing on the downtown St. Paul piece where it would connect into the Union Depot and having connectivity with other corridors like Central, like Red Rock, like high-speed rail, Amtrak service, existing bus system, it really is an important link for the regional system.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. And don't forget to mention the Harley shop over there in Landfall when you're talking about the 94 corridor. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I thank Senator Saltzman for bringing this forward. I think this is it's a great initiative, and whatever I can do to work with yourself and Metro Transit so that we can pull also some of the federal dollars that we've discussed that we absolutely aren't asking for, the small starts and the very small starts dollars that, you know, that we just don't pull into this region. And, you know, we're net contributors. We know that to the feds on a lot of this stuff, and a lot passes us over because we just aren't asking. So this is a great initiative, and I think it stands to pull in some significant federal support that we just simply never asked for before.
Now that time,
that's Mr. probably why Commissioner McDonough is late here today, is because that plane that he was on was so laden with that Washington cash that it was on the floor getting back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Rogers, I don't know if you could answer this, but are there park and rides along the I-94 corridor where money could be used to at this time if money became available for this corridor?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, Ted, have you know of any park
and rides? And I can just
Mr. Chair, I just talked to Ted Cheneker from Washington County. He said that, yes, in the Woodbury area, Oakdale area, that there could be money sent into park and rides there, whether it's the Woodbury Theater or some of those other smaller park and rides in Woodbury itself.
And, Mr. Chair, to that point, Senator Saltzman, I'm wondering if you might want to amend your bill to possibly include the inclusion of park and rides. I know that there was a question in the bonding committee last night about why this money was not included, and Chair Langseth, who's not here, indicated that that perhaps some of the language wasn't bondable, which I don't think is accurate looking at this language, but I wonder if we might want to just amend it to include park and rides just to make it more clear, and then if that money does become available, it's one more use that it could be used for. So if we wanted to amend it to use permissive language where you could use it for park and rides or for preliminary engineering, that would be possible.
To that point, Mr. Chair?
Senator Saltzman.
To that point, Senator Sieben, there was sort of a misunderstanding that CTIB submitted the list of projects, and they had noted that this was a cash appropriation instead of a bonding bill. And so that asterisk meant that this was left out of the bonding bill yesterday, that the CTIB report, the legislative platform from CTIB, did not represent this bill. This bill is written very much like the bill that was passed last year for bonding money, so I am working on that. So we could certainly amend that. I'm not sure that we need to, because I have talked to Senator Langseth about that, and we are working on that, because the language is very similar to what was passed last year as bonding money. It's very similar to the language in other bills. And perhaps Ms. Brazowski could.
I just know that this says that it could be used for pre-design and preliminary engineering of transit improvements, but Ms. Berezovsky, could we also just include park and rides so that that money could be used for park and rides that's not captured under the preliminary engineering?
Ms. Berezovsky.
Mr. Chair and Senator Sieben, that amendment could certainly be made if that's what the committee wants to do.
And
so I could amend that, or you could, Senator Sieben.
I would move that amendment if Ms. Berezovsky would help me with the language. I think after the word improvements, insert park and ride lots or park and ride facilities.
I was thinking including busways, park and rides, or rail transit, or right. Including park and rides, busways. Mr. Chair and Senators, I would suggest on 1.8, after the word including, insert park and ride lots, comma.
On the Sieben motion to amend, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Saltzman moves that Senate File 827 as amended be recommended pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Mr.
You.
Chair.
Thank you.
And committee members.
Jim.
Senate File 42, Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and members, Senate File 42 is the primary enforcement of the seatbelt bill, and the reason that had to come back is it shows that there's a the fiscal note that was done showed that there was a cost to the court system. After we went to Judiciary, the Finance Division there, which Senator Cohen sits on, we talked about the assumptions that were made with this fiscal note, and the assumptions we came to the conclusion that the fiscal note was wrong because the assumptions that were used were poor, and the fiscal note was thrown out. So the fiscal note in front of you is of irrelevance, and I would move that Senate File 42 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Any questions? Senator Murphy moves Senate File 42 to be referred to Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Thank you.
Motion prevails.
All right.
So we're done with the finance. We're going over to policy.
Okay, members, let the record reflect that we are out of the finance portion of the